Before we start today's show, we want to let you guys know about our sponsor. Are you tired of the stress and hassle of tax preparation? Well, look no further. The experienced tax consultants at Cambrise Tax Consultants are here to help you navigate the complex world of taxes. They offer expert tax preparation services for individuals, small businesses, and real estate investors. From maximizing your deductions to minimizing your tax liability, they have got your back like chiropractic. Don't wait until the last minute. Call them today and let them take care of all of your tax needs. You can contact them at 901-605-4925. Again, that's 901-605-4925. Or you can visit their website at www.cambriseTaxConsulting.com. Again, the website is www.cambriseTaxConsulting.com for more information. Trust them to handle all of your tax needs so you can focus on what really matters. Cambrise Tax Consulting. Now, to the show. You could be anywhere doing anything, but you're hanging out with us, and we appreciate that. So wherever you're listening and however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in Timberwolves, S as in Shay, M as in Minnesota. Kennedy Miller, my guy.
What's going on, my man?
Man, nothing much, man. Can the folks find you on Twitter? Football season's over. You should be like in a better mood.
I'm okay. You can follow me on Twitter at _KennedyMiller_. Again, that's _KennedyMiller_.
And I just want to give a shout out to the big homie Kennedy Miller for finishing his inaugural season at North Shore High School completely undefeated. So shout out to you, my guy.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Hey man, always got to give our folks their flowers. And I just want to say, to start off this show, the fact that we're recording this on Sunday evening, we had to record this show around the fact that Kennedy Miller wanted to watch the damn All-Star game. And I am still just shocked at the fact that you still like engage in this activity. You still giving the NBA your money on this, bro. How and why?
I mean, you know, just the concept of it, a pickup game of the world's best players, obviously it's gone down in what, the last 5 or 6 years, other than the one right before COVID, you know, when they first put in that new scoring rule. As long as it's close, which I'm always hoping that it's close in the last, you know, 5 minutes or in this new format, you know, with the way that it is, hopefully it's close and that will inspire some real hoops. Or maybe these young guys like Ant Edwards, I can see him like starting to take this thing seriously. Like, and so hopefully every year I'm hoping that somebody sparks a competition into it. And, you know, it just becomes a good game. People start playing for real.
What you're going to keep getting is what we've been getting the last 10 to 12 years, right? Damian Lillard's just shooting these half court threes, right? And him just playing around. You still watch the Pro Bowl, don't you?
No. No, I had to let that go.
Oh, because I was when did you stop watching the Pro Bowl?
Nah, I probably stopped watching the Pro Bowl maybe my junior, senior year of high school.
Because like all of these events, to me at least, this is a waste of time, especially the Pro Bowl, because I'm just thinking exhibition football game, like these dudes break bones.
Right. Yeah. This
is a car wreck with humans involved, and we're going to do this just as an exhibition? Yeah, no. Like, they don't even play preseason games. There aren't any bonuses attached to winning a Pro Bowl or nothing, so they're basically out there playing what was effectively flag football. And now that they've made it flag football, the problem is now I'm out. Ain't no point of me watching this. This means nothing. At least with the Major League Baseball All-Star game, at least there's, like, some sort of stakes attached to it with the World Series. At least there was, mm-hmm. Right? Like, with the NBA, it's just like they're not going to play any defense. They don't really care. Sometimes you see dudes like Kawhi, LeBron, or KD. They're like, yeah, nah, I'm not going to put these extra miles on the tires. Like, this game really doesn't matter. You see the young dudes out there. And, you know, that's fine. That's cool. But if you want to see, like, the NBA players playing a pickup game, you'd have a better luck going to the Drew League or something. And even worse, All-Star Saturday night is cheeks now, too.
Yeah, I was telling somebody yesterday, like there was a time where I was not leaving my house like this weekend. Like I was trying to stay and watch all the events from the Skills Challenge. Like somebody just posted the old clip when Deron Williams got the Skills Challenge in like 25 seconds. From the Skills Challenge to the 3-point shootout to the dunk contest, right? And then on Sunday was my favorite always. Like the All-Star game was always my favorite event because you're just watching all these like basically Hall of Famers when I was growing up, like, or when we were growing up, you're watching like all these Hall of Famers just kind of play. And again, if the last 7 minutes, if the game is fairly close, well, you know Kobe's gonna try and win it. And then like, you know, there was that year the AI had to come back in like 2002, 2003. Right, where he like put the East on his shoulders, right? And so you got all these things, and like at the beginning of the game, obviously it's not gonna be much defense, but somebody gonna try and compete at some point, or it used to be that, right? And now it's just kind of got watered down and it's not really what it was.
Man, at this point, the dude who's won the dunk contest the last 2 years in a row is a white man. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a white man winning the dunk contest. It would be more notable that the fact that a white man won the NBA dunk contest if he was actually in the NBA. In the last 2 years, they've been like, I get the notification, Mac McClung has won the NBA dunk contest. And I was like, back-to-back years. I'm like, who the hell is Mac McClung? Right? Like, I've done that 2 years in a row. What G League team does he play for? The Magic?
Something like that. It's just no creativity anymore, and the creativity is all like with props and stuff. Like, I don't care about you dunking over a YouTube streamer like Jaylen Brown and like a 5'8" YouTube streamer sitting down. It's corny. It's corny. That the dunk contest probably hasn't been great since the Zach LaVine, Aaron Gordon. Like that's real dunks. Like that's real dunks. They were doing that on their first and second try, right? I will give those guys credit last night. It wasn't like, I can't remember who was the last guy that I remember, but you know, when somebody just keep missing the dunks and they keep trying it over and over again. Now, most of those guys last night, if they didn't get it their first time, they got it their second time. But again, just it was just kind of the same dunk. And it's not dudes that we know. Obviously, early, we had Vince, who's a perennial all-star Hall of Famer, right? Tracy, Steve Francis. And you get like
Jason Richardson.
Jason Richardson, then you get Dwight Howard and Nate Robinson. Like you're getting dudes that are known. I didn't even know Obi Toppin had a brother. Like, and is Obi Toppin too old now to dunk? Like, what are we like? Just because he won it before, he can't do it no more. Anthony Edwards, what are we doing? Like, you talk all, and I'm not just blaming him because I think it's just too many dudes are afraid to go out there and lose. They feel like it hurts their brands.
You know who I think was afraid to lose? He said he was going to do the dunk contest, but never
LeBron.
did. Your man's.
LeBron. Yeah.
It's LeBron's fault.
It probably is. Because, I mean, if you look at his stuff, like, he's not creative either. But, you know, like, in fairness, like, you go back and watch those dunks that happened in the 80s and 90s, and them dudes are doing that. Like, I'm not going to say at the Y because that's disrespectful. But it's a lot of people, nobody's fazed by those dunks. Like, they were showing, like, the 85 dunk contest, and, like Jaylen Brown did one of those dunks. The bar has just been set so high that it's just tough to reach that.
Like once you get to a certain point, you should just be like, you know, there's no more. And I think they really could have came to that point with Vince Carter. There's nothing that's ever going to top this.
Yeah, like Vince is one that shut down the crowd. T-Mac bounced it off the ground. He put it between his legs and dunked it. Do you know these dudes are like putting it between their legs and spinning and dunking it now? That's not impressive. That's not impressive to anybody. You know what I mean? So like, what more can you do? And then you just get to these stupid antics that they try and do. I think back to when Blake Griffin jumped over to Kia. Like,
That was cool. That was cool.
it was cool, but again, it was like, you can't windmill it.
I mean, because at that point, it's like gravity. You know what I'm saying? There's only but so much a human, even these great athletes, can actually pull off to a certain extent. So that does make sense. You know what I'm saying? So that's when you got to start doing things to where, like, if you miss, you could like void the insurance on your contract because you're over here trying to jump over an automobile. You know what I'm talking about? Like, those are the like, if like you said, think about what actually makes us say, wow, you got to jump over a family SUV to make us say, man. You know what I'm
Yeah,
talking
I
about?
mean, it's just a different time now, and people are looking for way more And like you said, maybe it does need to come to a stopping point with the dunk contest. Or maybe y'all just need to get like some professional dunkers. Because there's some people on YouTube that you can look up and they doing some crazy stuff.
You know, if they went and got Mac McClung out of the G League, do you remember the dude who was in N1 by the name of Air Up There? I mean, this is 15 years past that now, but Air Up There used to be able to do the 720. Yeah. Like, he would have, if there's anybody who they should have, like, 15, 16 years ago have done this, like they did with Mac McClung, like, you're not really even in the NBA. You're not even really NBA adjacent. Like, they could have had somebody sign Air Up There to a 10-day just so he could do the dunk contest.
No doubt.
Like, that is something I would have been excited to see. I'm not even going to lie to you. Like, that would have been fun. The Steph and Sabrina three-point shootout, that was cool until Kenny Smith messed it up.
Yeah, Kenny Smith probably had to have an HR talk this morning. But yeah, no, that I definitely was okay with that. That was cool. And I thought it added something. You know, it added something. They need to what they need to add, they just need to go ahead and add a one-on-one tournament. They just need to go ahead and add a one-on-one tournament. Three dribbles max. Winner gets a cash prize. And people are going to tune in. People will pay good money to see that.
In lieu of the dunk contest, or if they just want to play like 21.
That's cool too. But like it's gotta be something else. Cause like, you know how many people rewatch those same USA videos all the time when them dudes are staying after practice with KD, Paul George, Oladipo, playing ones, catching it at the mid post and just going to work. Like people will pay money to see that. But it'll probably be the same issue that we're talking about with slam dunk contest, egos. People don't want to lose for their brand. You know, it's not going to look good for their brand if I'm supposed to be this top player and Trae Young come out and cook me. I don't want to just say, you know, anybody's name, but, you know, Trae Young come out and cook me.
As we're getting into the show here, something I did want to talk to you about, man. I think we are having like the changing of the guard here in the NBA, because if we really look at it and think about this, Steph Curry and LeBron James have been like the two standard bearers of the NBA in the past 10 to 15, 20 years, right?
Yeah.
And there is a very good chance that neither of their teams are going to be in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? So like, for me, just watching like this new era, this Anthony Edwards, this, you know, SGA, Luka, like this is we're seeing a new era. You know what I'm saying? So do you think one of these, it's weird to talk about LeBron and Steph as an elder statesman. Do you think there's some like offhand possibility that they can make a run?
That LeBron or Steph or these young guys?
The young guys, like make a serious run.
I think both those teams, like when you say young guys, I believe you're talking about like Shea and Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
I think both of those teams are like a year away. The Thunder, I think they need another big man. Chet is a great shot blocker, but outside of Chet, I don't think they have the size to compete with like Jokic, even if the Lakers get in, right? You know, I don't think they have enough size on their front line. They've got big guards, but they don't have like true solid bigs. And so Minnesota, I'll be interested to see how they play in the playoffs. Especially, you know, playing Cat and Gobert at the same time. But I do think there's something to be said, right, about somebody thinking they're the best when they're that talented. Like Anthony Edwards, he ain't just that good. He think he that good, too. And that's a dangerous combination.
Is Shea at the place where, like, you can hand him the rock in the playoffs and he can make this happen?
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the playoffs, last 5-6 minutes of the game, because I think playoff basketball is really, like, people, we make a whole lot out of the adjustments and the lineup changes and all of this, you know, through a 6 or 7 game series. Mm-hmm. But at the end of each of those games, in the last 5-6 minutes, every team hands their guy the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have to ask this question. Is the moment going to be too big? You know what I'm saying? Can you be the guy to make that happen? Right? Are you afraid of the moment? And I think there are some dudes who aren't as good as, you know, like your superstars or something like that, but they ain't afraid of the moment. They willing to take the shot. Like a dude like Trae Young, he ain't as good as those dudes. He's a tier below those dudes, but he willing to take that shot, unlike other people. You know what I'm saying? Like with Shea, is he willing to take that shot? And even, and I think he is. I personally, that dude is cold. And I do want to say, like, side note, man, other than like Jimmy Butler, Kawhi Leonard, Jalen Brunson, have we seen a dude develop the way Shai has? 5 years ago, when he was just a rookie playing for the Clippers, that year with Pat Bev and Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell, that year they had with Doc after they got rid of Blake Griffin, you couldn't have told me this was coming.
I just watched something with Doc Rivers, and he talked about it like inside they knew he was going to be a superstar, at least according to Doc, right? Like, so the theory with the Paul George thing was like, with the trade, I know that we have to make this move, but I also know that that kid is going to be special too, because, you know, he showed the flat, like, he wasn't bad. Like, he had a pretty good rookie year. And then you got to think, he gets traded, and then he's with Chris Paul. So he's with, like, one of the best professionals the game has ever seen. And so not only does it help him, but, like, it kind of matures him up faster, because his second year in a team that wasn't even supposed to compete, they go to a game seven in the bubble against the Rockets. And you got to think, like, dude is a 6'6 guard. Like, he's a matchup nightmare. When he gets to the elbow, when he's, like, just pulling up from the mid-range, he is very unstoppable to guard. Now, like I said, I do think, like, team aspect, like, I think them dudes are going to perform in the playoffs. But, you know, when you look at the other teams in the Western Conference, like Denver, like the Clippers, like Phoenix to an extent, like Sacramento's got some playoff experience now. The Pelicans
are healthy.
Right, the Pelicans are healthy. Even if one of those two teams sneak in, like one of the Lakers or the Warriors sneak in, I think those two teams could cause problems for to the Thunder or the Timberwolves. Well, the thing that I say is, like, this year the Lakers haven't lost to the Thunder. But in previous years, the thing is, like, those teams, the Lakers and Warriors are always going to be up here, right? So everybody's always going to get their, like, they're always going to get everybody's best game. Then if you don't have a bunch of young guys, which those teams don't have as much as they do, those young guys, if they catch you on a random Wednesday night, they're going to run you out the gym, especially if you're overlooking them. Right. But we talked about, like, playoff time is different. And when an old team just has a matchup with you for 2 weeks, it's a totally different ballgame.
There's something to that. I think for me, what I constantly think about is, there's something to be said about the young team that has nothing to lose, right? No. The young team, we're not really supposed to be here. We don't know no better, kind of like it was with the Detroit Lions this year. We're just playing football. It doesn't really matter that we're the Detroit Lions. We're not supposed to be doing this, right? Because the expectations are as such to where nobody expects us to be or do anything because of the Lions, right? But I think that's a little bit different when you're like a 2 seed or a 3 seed. You know what I'm saying? You got home court advantage. There is a certain expectation that people think you should at minimum be able to at least get to the second round, right? Mm-hmm. Like the Thunder, I think, have a legitimate shot to win the West. You know what I'm saying? Now, again, the big Serbian, yeah, Jokic, stands in the way. You know, it depends what the matchup is, if they have to see the Clippers. You know what I'm saying? But they can Oklahoma City can legitimately make a run. The question is going to be, for a team that young, by the fact that you haven't been here before, is this moment going to be too big for you guys as a team? You know what I'm saying?
And the thing is, like, we know the moment won't be as big for, like, forget Denver and the Clippers. We know the moment won't be too big for the Lakers or the Warriors. The young team thing, it sounds great. I'm reminded of last year, the Warriors and the Kings. The Kings had the number one offense ever. Like, they had a young rising star, De'Aaron Fox. They had another all-star in Sabonis, right? On paper, and they had home court advantage in one of the toughest places historically to play, in Sacramento. And to top it all off, their head coach was a Warriors assistant. They weren't afraid of the moment. Like, they didn't fold. They went to game seven. But talk about understanding the moment. Steph scored 50. Steph scored 50, and it was over with, like, midway through the third.
Think about a team like the Warriors, because my eyes tell me the Warriors are not a good basketball team because they're old. Chris Paul is giving you much of nothing. Their attack dog, Draymond Green, is like not what he used to be. And side note, have you noticed everybody talks about Draymond Green like he's an out of control Rottweiler or something like that?
And they got him on TNT. Like, now they got him cleaned up and, like, on the front stage of TNT.
Hey, bro, Draymond Green, like, if you know, they always ask you a question when you were in school, like, if you could be another animal, if you could be an animal, what would you be?
Yes.
Draymond Green would be the German Shepherd that you come to somebody's house and they're like, oh, don't worry, he doesn't bite. He's so friendly. And then you see that dog over there frothing at the mouth. You know what I'm talking about?
Man, the lunatic.
Did you see, like, that last game they played against the Clippers before the break?
When he's pretending to stab him in the side or something?
Hey man, we gotta get this man some help or something, or put a shock collar on him. I don't know. Because hey bro, hey Ken, you know what? I'm gonna say this, black people might be offended. Draymond Green would have been hell as a police dog during the civil rights movement. He would have been hell on wheels.
Oh man! I mean, the dude is nuts. But they are a better team with him on the floor, and that's what's showing,
bro. That is the thing about a team like the Warriors, because there's no reason to believe that they can make this happen. There's no reason to believe they can really do anything, because they've not been a very good basketball team all year. Andrew Wiggins has stunk. Klay Thompson is clearly on his last leg. Mm-hmm. Draymond Green is a much lesser version of himself, while still being the full-on attack dog that he's always been. And the only thing you can really depend on at this point, Jonathan Kuminga is coming on.
Oh yeah, that's what's helping them as well.
Like, the only reason we have any thought that they can make any of this happen is Steph, right? And the scary part is, if you need somebody to steal a game in the play-in, like just win two games in a row, and we just need Steph to get us there, and then from there, you know what I'm saying? Like.
Yep.
Like in that King series, they were down 0-2. I had every reason to think the Kings were going to win that series. Mm-hmm. And then Steph went berserk in game 7.
Injuries kind of helped, right? But the Lakers are playing the Grizzlies. Memphis has home court advantage. They got the defense player of the year. They got John Morant. Obviously, he got hurt, came back, whatever. But it's a young team. Like, they don't know what they don't know. And like, I remember the first game before John Morant gets hurt, everybody's like challenging Anthony Davis. And I think he gets like 7 blocks in the first game of the playoffs. And it's like, do you guys not understand the magnitude of what you're playing at? Like, this ain't no March game anymore. You let LeBron and AD get in the playoffs against one of them young teams. Now, what they don't want to see, the Lakers or the Warriors don't want to see Denver or the Clippers in the first round. They don't want to see them too, because they know all about what to do. But they see one of those young teams, LeBron and AD, like Steph and Draymond and them, I'm not a betting man. I had to delete Prize Picks because it's cost me too much. But I'm not a betting man. But I'm gonna take them old teams if they find a way to get in. I'm gonna take them against them. I just am.
I will say this: all these years, Kennedy Miller, we've been doing this show. But even before that, all these years I've known you, I've heard you be able to talk yourself into some amazing things in the name of LeBron James. I have. It's February, so this is when Kennedy Miller kind of starts to plant those seeds of LeBron's team can do X, Y, or Z. They look like dog ass right now, but just you wait till April. LeBron's team can do insert thing here. And I'll say this: 7 of the 8 years we've done this show, Kennedy Miller has been wrong, but it only takes one time for Kennedy Miller to be right, and that keeps him coming back. Because last year, you said in a text that the Lakers are going to make it to the conference finals. You said this in March, and I thought you were on drugs. I thought they need to get you checked. And sure enough, they made it, to my chagrin, because I knew I was going to have to come every Wednesday for the live show and deal with a smug Kennedy Miller. So I feel like it's that time of year, just like LeBron sends some passive aggressive tweet out wanting his team to make a trade the week before the deadline. This is the same thing with you. We get to this point. Well, you know, if this happens and that happens and this happens and that happens and that guy sprains a foot, you know, you like a dude on the board drawing all that stuff.
Can I say it, Alex Goodwin?
Go ahead.
I'm back. I'm back. So, my crazy prediction this year, which is not so crazy, I don't think they're going to be a play-in team. I don't think they're going to be a play-in team. Now, here's the thing. They have not played well up until the last 3 to 4 weeks. Now, what has changed? All these rumors are gone. No D'Angelo Russell for DeJounte Murray. That was a lateral move. You weren't going to get any better by it. Maybe DeJounte Murray is a little, I mean, maybe he's a better defender than D'Angelo Russell, right? But you're not getting that much better by that move. Keeping D'Angelo Russell, he's been playing out of his mind. Alex Goodwin always tells me to judge an NBA team by a code number of games. What number is that?
Who you are after the first 25 games is who you are.
That is what Alex Goodwin tells me. Now, I don't have 25 games. I have 20 games. In the last 20 games, the Lakers are a top five offense and they are a top 15 defense. Anthony Davis, along with Big Parlay, who we'll talk about in a little bit, should be the two leaders for defensive player of the year this year. They should be the two leaders for defensive player of the year this year. And if you are watching the Lakers, that man is a one-man defense. He's a one-man defense back there. Like he's wrecking shop. He's having one of the best seasons of his career, right? LeBron is doing his thing, right? But they figured out playing bigger is the way to be successful. Like, you just didn't bring Christian Wood and Jackson Hayes to sit on the bench. And with them starting Hachimura, now they've unlocked their offense. Now, they picked up Spencer Dinwiddie. I think it's just more I'm not putting much stock into it. I think it's insurance because Gabe Vincent hasn't stepped a foot on the floor in more than five games this year.
Is he, oh my God, who is that? Was that Kendrick Nunn who had that bone bruise?
Another Miami Heat guard. Never sign him. Never sign him. If Pat Riley lets him go, there's a reason. Okay. So you got Spencer Dinwiddie as your backup guard, which allows Austin Reeves to not have that responsibility anymore. And I'm going to tell you, before this break, they beat Boston. They beat the Knicks. They beat the Pelicans. I mean, the Jazz, whatever. They beat the Jazz. They are surging. And they're going to have a tough schedule coming out of the All-Star break, but they get some rest and they'll get like Cam Reddish back and Max Christie back. But do not be surprised if that team starts peaking around March, April, going into the playoffs, because they're going to be a tough out for anybody. But you said I've only been right 1 year. I was right that 2020 year, too. Give me two.
Wait.
The first year we got Anthony Davis.
But that everybody was saying that, though, Ken. I can't even give you that. Like, that was a common opinion.
No, he was injury prone, right? We weren't sure how it was going. Then we talked about the pieces, right? They didn't have enough shooting around them. I remember the narratives. That's the thing. When people win, they start to disqualify all the narratives, right? Kyle Kuzma wasn't a good third option. He wasn't ready to be a third option. He was a volume shooter, inefficient, right? Rondo was washed past his prime. You needed a point guard that could shoot around LeBron and AD. I remember all these things. We remember Dion Waiters with the gummies.
You're about to derail the whole show.
Sorry.
Every time I think about Dion Waiters, I'm having to land the plane because you got too high. Hey, you, look, that has got to be like the drugs version of sex sent me to the ER. I got so high, they had to land a plane because I was over there biting my tongue and it was bleeding.
Yeah, I remember all these things. I remember all these things. But, you know, in all seriousness, it does depend on the matchups and who they run into. Like I said, if they run into the Clippers or the Nuggets, I would not be surprised if they go home in the first round. But if they have to run into Oklahoma City or Minnesota, or that's really the only two teams that I could see them playing right now, I give him a punch of shot.
You mentioned the homie Big Parlay a little bit earlier, the man Victor Wembanyama. Is it safe to say he was a runaway for the NBA Rookie of the Year, or does Chet have an outside shot at it?
I mean, he's got a shot, but they're both special. Chet is doing this at 21 years old. Victor is 19. And for that dude to have that many blocks, he's got already more blocks than Rudy Gobert had hit one of his Defense Player of the Year seasons. That dude is special. And then he got a triple-double right before the All-Star break with blocks instead of assists. Man, they go ahead and trade for Trae Young this summer.
You know, it is wild to think about how good Victor Wembanyama is. And the fact that in terms of team success at this point in the NBA, that it means nothing.
Yep.
20 years ago, like when Carmelo Anthony came to the league and there was a 25 win improvement and Carmelo Anthony should have won Rookie of the Year that year. That is a hill I will die on. They gave it to LeBron James because of popularity. I think Nike was involved. Now I sound like Dr. Umar Sounded like conspiracy, brother.
Yes, yes, you are. It's okay, though.
But I'm not upset at that. They went from like a 17-18 win team in Denver that year, the year before Carmelo got there. And then the year after that, after Carmelo shows up, Carmelo's rookie year, they're a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
That don't happen anymore. A dude like Victor Wembanyama, Victor's putting up 20 and 10 in three blocks a game, and he's only playing 28 minutes. Like, yep. His per 36-minute averages are like 26 and 13 in five blocks. And the Spurs arguably are as bad as they were last year, if not worse. Like, that, I think, is a testament to how good and how deep that the NBA is. You know what I'm saying? Like, the NBA is so good and so deep at this point. There's a team with Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic on it, and no one's concerned.
I didn't even talk about Dallas. Yeah.
Like, no one is concerned about them. My thing, as a Spurs fan, it has been frustrating and irritating to watch the Spurs this year because Keldon Johnson and Devin Vassell and homeboy who looks like Cisco, they refuse to pass parlay the ball.
Yeah, they act like they got something. They play like they got something against him.
You know what this is like? This is like, I don't know how much of a B2K fan you are, right? You know, Omarion the lead singer, but sometimes Jay Boog want to think, I can sing that part. It's like, ain't right. Nobody here to see you, Otis. Like, we here for parlay.
Right.
We here for the big Frenchman. I did not pay that money to go see Keldon Johnson or Jeremy Sohan take 27 footers to isolate.
Exactly. Yeah. It was the first game of the season. Well, I think they played Dallas. I'm not mistaken, on ESPN. Like, it was like them dudes like, oh, now is my time to shine. Dude, we done seen y'all the past 2 or 3 years. Go ahead and pass that ball to Big Parlay. That's who we came to see. You jokers, y'all can go to Atlanta for all I care. Like, get Trae Young, get somebody that can throw him lobs, put the ball to him in the right situation, can knock down shots. And watch what's going to happen.
That has been the thing for me with San Antonio is, what do you do next, right? Like, can you package this group of dudes into a good perimeter player that can get parlay the ball? Because when you're that height, like when you're a big man, in order to like be a championship team, anything like that, to really maximize what you've got to have a great perimeter threat, you know? And because you're that big, it's not like we can just hand you the ball at the top of the key and say, go get it for us. Like, that's not how the game is going to work. You know, and I think Popovich has made some mistakes in this. Like, the idea that they thought they was going to put Jeremy Sohan and start him off as the point guard. That was a fail. And then they've gone to Trey Jones 2 months too late. And Trey Jones is a fine backup point guard, but Trey Jones can't be your starter. You know, like, you need a difference maker at that lead guard spot. Is Trey Young going to know that he the number two?
What he did with Clint Capella, like, what he does with Clint Capella, I'd say, he's going to do the same thing with Wembanyama. The only thing is, Wembanyama's like Randy Moss. He's open when he's not open. Like, that man threw a lob sign from the free throw line. Like, Trae Young going to get him the ball because that's what Trae Young does. Like, he's going to score, but he's going to get everybody else involved. And it, like, as much as we say he's not on that tier one, dude done went to, what, conference finals, and it ain't been too many times that he's missed the playoffs.
I think the thing with Wembanyama is going to be like, if you're a team like San Antonio, do you immediately make this move, or do you try to improve through the draft, like Oklahoma City did after they traded Russell Westbrook, after what they did when they traded Paul George, right, and just build through the draft and just kind of build manually, because those are places. Like your Oklahoma City's, your San Antonio's, your Minnesota's, where people ain't signing there in free agency. Like, you're not going to get elite level players. Like, I think about who is the greatest free agent signing in the history of the Boston Celtics?
Gordon Hayward.
Yep. Gordon Hayward. That in a place where they're going to be able to attract
high
caliber free agents. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not going to be what San Antonio is. You know what I'm saying? So, like, your young core, do you get rid of them? Do you get rid of a Keldon Johnson or a Devin Vassell?
I think if the opportunity presents itself, you do. So like we kind of hit on Oklahoma City and like Sam Presti. Like, I'm starting to think sometimes these dudes are fall in love with the notion of first round picks more than what they actually bring. Right? There's nothing wrong. Like, we all have credited Sam Presti. Like, golly, that guy got all these first round picks and he's doing it the right way. And you know, when it's time, he's gonna be able to trade for a superstar. Like, okay, Sam Presti, your team is number one or two in the West. Y'all can compete for a championship. Like, what are you waiting on to go out and try and get a big man during this trade deadline or this offseason? Like, what are you waiting on? We talked about the same thing with, we used to talk about it with Danny Ainge. All these first round picks Boston has, all the, you know, they got all this opportunity to make these big time trades. And every time somebody got traded, they would come out like, oh, we almost traded for him. Or we were about to trade for Paul George or for Jimmy Butler. Or we looked into Kawhi Leonard, but you never pulled the trigger. And so then you look up and like, what was all that capital for if you never used it right? And I'm looking at that with Sam Presti. It's not finished, but like I was expecting them to at least try and make a move. Like they got Gordon Hayward, which is cool, right? But if I'm Oklahoma City and I see my team is first in the West, I'm going all in this year because you can't be at a mindset, well, there might be next year. Not with the way this league moves.
That's fair. And I think what comes up, and I think while sometimes we don't mention it as much with Boston, because it's not like Brown and Tatum haven't been good for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like they've been to the finals. They've been to the conference finals a number of different times, right? Without pulling the trigger on those deals, right? But the question always has come up, like you said, why do we hoard all these, as they call them, assets if we're not going to pull the trigger on something eventually? And I think the thing is going to have to be for a team like Oklahoma City and especially San Antonio in this example, all of these players are not going to be good. And two, if they are good, not all of them are going to be, you're not going to be able to keep all of them because you might run into a James Harden situation where we only have money for KD, Russ, and Ibaka. Like, we don't have money for James Harden.
Correct.
Or this guy decides, yeah, I want to be the lead singer now.
Right.
Right. So at a certain point, you do have to pull the trigger because I think either Vassell or Keldon Johnson or Sochan, one of them got to go. And I think if the move is this offseason, the move has to be to get more NBA quality players in there in San Antonio, more guys that can really just help you at least at minimum reach like that play-in level.
So like they should be at the phase where the Rockets are right now, which is you should be competing for a play-in spot next year. Like what, this is what, year four of the rebuild?
For who?
San Antonio.
So it depends when you actually consider like when the rebuild start. Like does the rebuild start when they traded Kawhi Leonard in 2018? I don't consider that the start of the rebuild.
I don't. Yeah, they traded. It wasn't a lateral move, but getting DeMar DeRozan signaled like we're still trying to make it to the playoffs.
And they won 50 games that year with that first year with DeMar.
Right, right. So I don't think that was the rebuild. But like next year, obviously, you see you have a generational player in Victor, right? So now identify who is your core. One thing I think the Rockets did a good job this offseason, like we're not getting young guys anymore. We got enough young guys. We've got our core. Now who's going to help this core develop? So now you're bringing in vets. Now you're bringing in guys that can help you compete right now. And the goal should be the 9th or 10th seed, like trying to sneak into that West.
I'm looking at San Antonio right now, and I'm just kind of asking myself, do we need another coach? And this pains me to say this. It does. It's time for him to go retire because I think the goal or the thought was they trade to John T. Murray, they tank it out, and then Pop gets it to a place where they can hand it off to the next coach without having to do all of the hard work, right? Like Pop has done the remodel, and all they have to do is move in.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the plan, okay, right? But the fact that the Spurs are, like the Spurs may finish off with a worse record than they did last year. Like that is a legitimate possibility that San Antonio could lose 67 games.
Dang.
A legitimate possibility. And the Spurs have the dude who is the rookie of the year, who also may be the defensive player of the year as well. And it ain't meant a hill of beans in terms of the win and loss column.
Right.
So some of that does fall on the coach. Like it has to, as great as a coach as Popovich is, some of this does have to fall on you. Like, in what world was Jeremy Sochan going to be the point guard in that work?
Yeah, I mean, you make a good point. And I mean, it really might be time. Like, Pat Riley had to step down. Because, like, I mean, all honesty, like, we know that there's an aura about Pop. What do these kids really know about Greg Popovich? He's a five-time champion, but they probably only remember the Spurs winning one championship. Like, they probably only saw Greg Popovich winning one championship. Like he probably doesn't hold that same weight the way that he does with us as the kids that are just now coming into the league. And the things that we remember about Greg Popovich right? He's getting on Tony Parker. He's not afraid to get on any star player. Well, these are different kids now. And like, you can make the argument he couldn't really do that to people in the league back then. He could do it with the players that he had because there was those international players that were quiet, soft-spoken. Like, he could get on them. But like, he might be a little bit past his time, which is fine. Like, he's still one of, if not the best coach ever, but he might not be able to relate to these new kids like he did before.
We might have talked about this a couple weeks back when Nick Saban retired. Your fathers, your parents are grandparents. My parents are grandparents as well. With the way our parents handled us when we did certain stuff.
Mm-hmm. Totally different.
Like, you know, if I do this thing here, I know if I take off running in the street, they are going to take a chunk out of my ass. We knew that. Right. We knew if we said insert thing here, we getting our ass whipping.
Mm-hmm.
We see our little nephews and nieces do that. And they just talk to them sternly and put them in time out. You're like, who are you? And what have you done with my father?
Right.
It seems like that with Pop, because Pop seems so much calmer, so much more like understanding and willing to hear somebody out. I'll never forget the time Danny Green did something like out of a timeout at the end of the game. Pop called a timeout, and then he meets Danny Green at half court. Danny Green's trying to explain. He's like, shut up. That's stupid. He said, that's the dumbest shit I've ever seen. And he just lays into Danny Green the entire timeout. He ain't doing that no more. And I think part of that might be a generational thing. You know, like, all right, maybe the young people don't respond to that. But it's also, I think it might be a thing is he's tired.
Mm-hmm.
Are you tired of the stress and hassle of tax preparation? Well, look no further. The experienced tax consultants at Cambrise Tax Consultants are here to help you navigate the complex world of taxes. They offer expert tax preparation services for individuals, small businesses, and real estate investors. From maximizing your deductions to minimizing your tax liability, they have got your back like chiropractic. Don't wait until the last minute. Call them today and let them take care of all of your tax needs. You can contact them at 901-605-4925. Again, that's 901-605-4925. Or you can visit their website at www.cambricetaxconsulting.com. Again, the website is www.cambricetaxconsulting.com for more information. Trust them to handle all of your tax needs so you can focus on what really matters. Cambrice Tax Consulting.
We got to move on from the Spurs and their losing ways to a former Spur who's got his team balling, the LA Clippers. We talked about the Clippers a couple months back when they were 0-5 after they acquired James Harden. I think because people haven't been paying very much attention, the Clippers have lost like 6 times in 2 months. To me, the scary part about the Clippers is going to be this. If they're healthy, and that's a big if, that's a ginormous if. If Kawhi Leonard and Paul George make it to the finish line and are healthy when we play the games that actually matter, you talk about a tough out because, like, statistically speaking, Kawhi Leonard is one of the best playoff performers in the history of the NBA. Statistically speaking, if he's healthy during the playoffs, O's going to be on and popping. But they got like 5 dudes shooting over 40% from the 3-point line. James Harden's really integrated nicely there. And I think the thing with James is, aside from the injuries, it's like James Harden. Is James Harden going to pee on himself? Is James Harden just not going to have one of them games where he shows up and looks like he's drunk? You know what I'm saying? Because you remember that 2017 game 6 against San Antonio at home. Well, I thought somebody else was in his jersey or something.
Of course I do.
He has those moments. So like James Harden as your best player, can't trust it. James Harden is your second best player, as we saw it in Philadelphia with Embiid. Can't trust it. What does it look like if James Harden has to be your third best player? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, the thing with the Clippers is, and you used to always say this about my Lakers, it ain't about the talent. Are they going to be healthy? I mean, the thing, like, how many, we've been doing this, what, 6 years?
Yep.
The Clippers were formed when LeBron went to the Lakers. Every year, I think you picked the Clippers to come out the West.
Almost I think the only year I didn't was 1920. I think I did pick the Lakers to come out the West. I picked the Lakers in 7 that year.
I don't think so, Alexander Goodwin. I think you picked because you said them dudes got too many dogs.
Which year was it?
The first year. The first year.
Okay. Right. I thought
you were like
2021. Okay. Yes. That year, the pre-COVID year, I did pick the Clippers. I did.
Yeah. And, you know, like outside of that year, which, you know, the bubble and stuff, it's just been unfortunate injury after unfortunate injury after unfortunate injury. And I hate to say it, but I can't put too much stock in it. It was the same way that you were telling me with Anthony Davis. Like, as much as I want to, as much as it looks good right now, can they make it to the finish line? Like, they got all the pieces. Like, James Harden is their point guard. He's a point guard that they've been needing, you know, forever, right? Kawhi and PG are playing at a high level. You got Russell Westbrook for almost a veteran minimum coming off the bench. And you got snipers all the way around. And you got a big seven-footer that's roaming down the middle of the floor, right? They have all the pieces to be able to compete. Will all those pieces be there in April and May?
That is a team that you might as well call, yeah, but.
Like, as much as we talk about it, how good they are in here, you ain't going to Vegas and putting your money on them?
Hell no. Look, I don't bet on nobody, but I look, nah, bro. My pick is Denver to come out of the West right now, and it has to be.
As it should be.
Jokic is healthy. Jamal Murray's healthy. People got to go in there in that building in that altitude. And if they got home court, it's hard. Like, that's a hard and tough place to play.
You know what them dudes remind me of really quick? Those Spurs teams. They're just trotting along through the regular season.
Oh, the Nuggets.
The Nuggets.
Okay.
They're just trotting along during the regular season. They ain't really worried. They doing what they got to do. They staying above water. Right. But come playoff time, they're going to flip that switch again.
And, you know, that's the thing. Like, when I was watching the Nuggets last year, like, I had that same, like, a similar feeling. Right. The only thing I could compare it to is that 2014 Spurs team. And of course, that 14 Spurs team didn't have a dude as singular of a talent as Jokic. Kawhi Leonard was still coming into his own, the whole nine yards. But when you watch the Nuggets, right, like, you would just think in your head, we can beat these guys. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I got it.
Yeah. I know you did. Like, you come in there thinking we could beat these guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, Phoenix had Durant, Devin Booker,
Chris Paul,
Aiden. You're like, oh, they can beat Denver. And Denver it's not even really flashy a lot of times. It's just surgical.
Yeah, like, yeah, this is what I'm gonna do. You take this away, or I'm gonna do this. You take that away, or I'm gonna do this. Like, it ain't never no, it's no uncomfortability to what they're doing. Like, they just get to the next thing.
It's fundamental.
And, like, we were talking about it off air, but, like, the Aaron Gordon and the KCP, like, pickups were tremendous. Like, Aaron Gordon his career was rotting away in Orlando. He gets to Denver, and he becomes, like, this, like, Sean Marion 2.0 type dude. Like, he just is a Swiss Army knife and does whatever needs to be done on the floor that night. And KCP is this 6'5 sniper, right, that's shooting the lights out. I don't want to get into it. I'm not getting into it, so don't grin at me. Talking about KCP, we're just going to keep it what it is. His days in Denver. But he's a 6'5 sniper, right? And he's just opening the floor, and he's a great cutter. So he's always getting those Jokic feeds. So they're just a well-tuned machine.
They're going to be so tough to beat, man. And I think, like, there are arguments for Minnesota. Like, there's an argument for Oklahoma City. There's an argument for the Clippers, right? But all those teams come with a yeah, but.
Yep.
With Denver, it's like, there's Denver, and yep, they've got Jokic. It ain't no but behind it. There's absolutely nothing. That is the part that I think I'm excited to see, because we were excited for last year's postseason, and last year's postseason really, like, lived up to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to see, like, what does it look like a team like the Clippers fully healthy, and they got Phoenix coming to town.
I was just about to say that. See, Clippers Nuggets. I want to see Clippers Nuggets second round.
I just want to see, and for me, like, we keep getting these years where not everybody's not healthy coming into it. You know what I'm saying? Like, we lost mm-hmm. Ja last year.
Yeah.
We lost Kawhi and Paul George down the yep. stretch. You know what I'm talking yep. about? Like, we're losing dudes. Chris Middleton from Milwaukee.
Absolutely.
You know, like, which at this point, we just need to shorten the NBA season. Like, can we shorten this thing to 65 games? Like, if this was like NBA 2K, you can, like, you making a doing a dynasty, you can decide how long the season is. I'd make the season 65 games, because we don't need 82 games of this. Like, we need to have the best players on the floor when it really matters. It don't matter if Milwaukee, who wins Milwaukee and LA MLK weekend. We don't care. We got to talk about this right before we run up out of here. This Jalen Brunson thing in New York. I don't know if they're going to win anything. I don't know if they're going to make it past the second round. But I must say, it is a lot of fun to watch.
Man, Tom Thibodeau done found his new Luol Deng and OG Anunoby. He's about to run that dude into the ground. Like he, and he's perfect. He's perfect for him. He's perfect for him. And then, you know, the thing that New York was kind of lacking was some extra scoring outside of Jalen Brunson. Well, they get Bogdanović, right? They get Burks. And so you look up and you're like, man, the Knicks about 8-9 players deep. Now, the thing is that we are kind of talking about with Shea and, you know, like Anthony Edwards, like, is Jalen Brunson good enough to be that guy in a playoff game last 5 minutes that you get a ball to? Because that bull in the china shop is surely not. I'm still not a fan of Julius Randle, no matter how many good moves the Knicks make. I'm still not going to be a fan of Julius Randle.
But, you don't like Julius Randle's turnaround fadeaways?
No, absolutely not. It's atrocious. I hate watching it. But you look up and you got Jalen Brunson, Burks, Bogdanović, Julius Randle, Mitchell Robinson. Then you got Josh Hart, DiVincenzo, who's been playing out of his mind. I think he stole Klay Thompson's superpowers. I think he took the ball from Klay Thompson, like in Space Jam, and he brought that with him to New York. Right. You got a solid 8-man playoff rotation. That's good. I don't know. You know, I don't know if they could beat Boston and, you know, I don't know if they are talented as Milwaukee, but I don't think any of those teams want to play them.
I think the question for a guy like Jalen Brunson is going to be this. Can a guy that's sub 6'4" be our best player in the playoffs and make it happen? Like that is the question. You know what I'm saying? And historically speaking, over the last like 35 years, there have only been like three teams and your point guard is your best player. Steph, Allen Iverson, and Isaiah Thomas. Of course, there's Magic Johnson. He was 6'9". That's different. You know what I'm saying? Right. But like, if you're going to be sub 6'4", you have to be a singular talent. Do I think Jalen Brunson is a singular talent in that way? No.
No.
But it doesn't take away from how good that he is. Like, he you is just good. Look at Jalen Brunson, 28 points, 41% from the three-point line, 48 from the field, and 83 from the line. Like, these are some Kevin Durant-type numbers. Like, if I told you Kevin Durant put up these numbers, you wouldn't be shocked, right? To me, the victory in this is the fact that we're having this conversation about Jalen Brunson. Like, can Jalen Brunson be the best player on the championship team? When he was another one of them dudes, I never would have saw this coming.
Yes, sir. I don't know if he can be your best player in a playoff series and get you to maybe like a conference finals, but I do think that they can win a first round, get to the second round, and then depending on the matchup, you know, we can see. But they definitely have a solid 8-man rotation that is good enough to at least give other teams problems. And so that's what I'm looking forward to see.
You know what you can compare the New York Knicks to?
What's that?
This may not be a long-term relationship. This may not be somebody that meets your mama, but you know what it always is going to be?
What?
A good time. Maybe I just compared the New York Knicks to August Alsina. I don't know. Jalen Brunson, them boys on entanglement.
Hey, man. Hey, I'm down for the ride, though. I'm interested to see what they do.
And that is another episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Kennedy Miller, my guy, I got to thank you for hanging out with me once again, man.
Yes, sir. It's a pleasure always.
Man, where can the folks find you? Twitter, Instagram, all of that, man.
You can find me on Twitter at _KennedyMiller_. Again, that's _KennedyMiller_.
All right. All right. You can find me on Twitter at AlexGoodwinTSM. Again, that's on Twitter at AlexGoodwinTSM. That's T as in tacos, S as in sangria, M as in margaritas. Follow the Game Plan Podcast on Instagram at _TheGamePlanPodcast. Again, follow the show on our official Instagram at _TheGamePlanPodcast. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. For Kennedy Miller, my name is Alex Goodwin. This has been the Game Plan Podcast, and we will see you guys next time. Y'all take it light.